Welcome to Today's Issues, offering a Christian response to the issues of the day. Here's your host, Tim Wildman, President of the American Family Association.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Today's Issues here on the American Family Radio Network. Today's Issues, the name of this program. I'm Tim Wildman. I shall now introduce our panel, Ed Battagliano. Good morning, Ed.
Good morning, Tim.
Walker Wildman.
Good morning.
Fred Jackson.
Hi there.
How you doing, Brother Fred?
Doing very well, thanks.
And I'll introduce our other guests momentarily, but first of all, Fred, we had severe weather across Alabama last night. Well, other places too, but in particular Alabama.
Incredibly off-season weather yesterday in the deep south, 73 degrees where we live here in Tupelo, Mississippi. That's highly unusual for January. And while a lot of us may have enjoyed the warmer temperature, we also know it can lead to very dangerous weather conditions. And that's what happened last night in a community just north of Birmingham, Alabama. A severe tornado set down there. Words like, it looks like a war zone here. So far, one confirmed person died and several have been critically injured. The person who died, the family was down in the basement of the house and they thought it was safe there. That was a wise thing to do. But a huge tree fell on the house. The house collapsed in and, as we say, one person died. The images coming out of there this morning, as the sun has come up and we're seeing more, it really is a war zone. And there are now a total of 28 people, they say, have been injured. So we're going to be watching that story very carefully today.
Fultondale?
Yes, sir.
Which I've been there many times, been that area. But that's just north of Birmingham. Yeah. The loss of life here is tragic, Ed. But if we didn't have the warning system that we have today because of the National Weather Service and the advanced radar and Doppler and all those things, back in the old days, I put that in quotations. You know, many people would have died.
Yeah, because the only thing you had was maybe some sense that the weather's bad. Looks like thunderstorms are coming. Things could get bad, but you just relied on your eyesight. And at night, look, you don't have that. It's very difficult to see what's happening in the night. So to your point, the fact that we have Doppler radar and, we, during stormy seasons, we pay close attention to our local weather. They have, you know, good coverage of what's happening.
You have even the warnings now on the phone.
Warnings now on the phone. It doesn't always guarantee that you make it, but it improves your odds.
I remember as a kid, and I know many people, many people listening right now, I'm 57, but my age or older, some younger, remember going to storm shelters.
Right.
When we were children, because you would go to the storm shelter because there was severe weather in the area. There was no necessarily a tornado warning.
Right.
There's nothing to warn you immediately. This, I'm talking 60s and 70s right here. But you would go, if it got really bad, you just, you know, going down to the storm cellar.
And there might be a siren, you know, in later
in
decades.
In the town. Yeah. All right. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Fred, you want to introduce? Let me introduce the guest here. No stranger to American Family Radio. He's really not a guest, so we won't treat him like one. He's just a brother over here. Abraham Hamilton III. Abe is host of the Hamilton Corner each afternoon from 5 to 6 o'clock Central Time on AFR. Abe is normally with us on Wednesdays, and hopefully he'll be with us tomorrow at 10:30. But we had a issue that we needed his knowledge on, having to do with the law and the Constitution. And so welcome, Abe.
Thank you. Good morning, guys.
All right, Fred, pitch it. Tell the subject matter and then pose your question to Abe.
All right. Well, if you happen to be watching some of the television networks last evening, the nine House prosecutors carried the sole impeachment charge against former President Trump. They did their little walk over to the Senate. The sole charge is this, quote, incitement of insurrection, going back to what they say the president was responsible for on January the 6th. Now, already there are a number of not normal things going on in this. You may remember the impeachment last year, the first impeachment that the Nancy Pelosi Democrats brought against the president. The Chief Justice of the Supreme Court, Justice Roberts, oversaw the proceedings. That's not going to happen this time. I know Abe is going to talk about that. Instead, they've asked a Democrat senator, Patrick Leahy, from Vermont, who in the few days after the January 6th incident, basically said the president was guilty of what he's being charged of. Now, he is going to be acting as the judge overseeing this case, which is going to begin to unfold on February the 8th. And now you have President Biden saying there's not a chance that this is going to happen. There's not enough Republican senators that are going to vote for this, almost saying what is the point of it all. So that's where we are this morning with this.
Yeah. So let me say, Chief Justice John Roberts not participating is a huge statement without words being expressed. The United States Constitution says expressly, this is not interpretation, this is not someone's opinion. This U.S. Constitution says expressly that the Chief Justice of the U.S. Supreme Court shall preside over the trial of an impeachment of a president. Not may, shall preside. You cannot tell me that Chuck Schumer has not talked to Chief Justice John Roberts. We all know that John Roberts is not averse to presiding over an impeachment trial because he did it just about a year ago. That is a statement revealing the reality that this is an unconstitutional sham process. In order for John Roberts to be involved, he would have to violate his oath to the Constitution to do so. That's the first point. The second point is that there's never been in U.S. history, this is unprecedented in U.S. history, there has never been an impeachment of a removed president in U.S. history. There's a reason for that, because impeachment is solely a vehicle to address issues pertaining to a seated elected official, including, namely, the president. The moment that Joe Biden was sworn in as president and Donald John Trump is no longer the president, he is no longer governed by, as pursuant to the Constitution, by impeachment articles, because the only remedies available to the U.S. Senate, they're twofold and they're connected. The first remedy is removal from office. Mm-hmm. You cannot remove someone from office who is not in office. President Trump is a private citizen.
He could come back.
No.
If I were Biden, I'd say, come on back.
And then put him back
Stay here in the Lincoln Room for a couple of days. And I'm just kidding.
I know. And here's the thing. When the Senate votes on the trial, whether or not the president is guilty or not, the first vote is only to vote to remove him from office. The second option available says and disqualify from holding future office. That requires another vote. You don't get to the second vote if you cannot conduct the first vote. And so this entire thing, and I've said this before, and I'm planning to go into more detail this evening on a Hamilton Corner, that this is a completely unconstitutional process because there are literally no remedies available to the U.S. Senate to remove a non-seated president. Donald Trump is a private U.S. citizen right now. Yeah. So this is a gigantic waste of time. And this is where it's a great opportunity to ask whether or not the rhetoric of President Joe Biden and the Democrat Party matches what they're actually seeking to accomplish. If they desire to unify like they're saying, why participate in this unconstitutional sham of an impeachment trial?
So, Abe, here's my question. If the Congress, both the House and the Senate, are clearly ignoring the Constitution, which is not a new problem in Washington. But this is so blatant that is there any body, any lawful body, whether it be the judicial branch, et cetera, that can step in and basically say this is not allowed?
Well, because of the separation of powers, they won't be able to step in on the front end. But if the Senate tries to do something, which I don't anticipate because I don't think there are enough votes in the Senate to convict President Trump anyway, but let's say hypothetically if the Senate were to try to convict President Trump, he would have lawful grounds to say this is completely unconstitutional And I know I personally have not much – I don't feel very good about the courts at the moment, but I have no doubt that it will probably be a 9-0 decision. The Supreme Court would say, this is ridiculous. Stop the madness.
Mitt Romney, by the way, is quoted as saying he's going to vote 16 times to convict. That just came across the wire.
Yeah, the wire. So let me just ask you this, Abe. So President Trump will have his legal team defending him as if it was a trial. I'm sure they'll make these arguments in the course of the trial. But let's say, just for the sake of argument, that the Democrats had enough votes to convict the president. What exactly would the punishment be? Because all the Constitution gives them the authority to do is remove from office. Mm-hmm. So what are they, and that would be absurd. It would be absurd for them to say, we have the votes, we are now removing him from office when it's clear he's not in office. What else could they say in terms of punishment?
So their objective, I strongly believe, is to get to the second potential remedy, which is disqualification from holding office in the future. But remember that the conviction vote has to be 2/3 of the Senate, a supermajority.
Not happening.
And if they do vote to convict, they would then have to hold another vote to say, okay, now we want to ask you senators to disqualify him from holding office in the future. And then you would have to have 2/3 of the Senate to agree to that as well. And
Is that constitutional?
That the Constitution expressly presents that as the two remedies available.
So they would not connected. They would not, as punishment for convicting in the Senate, would not be removal from office since he's already out. The only punishment would be we are saying he cannot run for office.
Well, but you can't even get to the punishment about disqualification because you have to get to the first part first. Removal from office has to be voted affirmatively in order to get to the disqualification
then,
for future
then,
office.
Then what are they hoping to say if they had the votes? Now, they obviously don't, but if they had the votes, what are they hoping to say?
Kick him out of Mar-a-Lago.
Yeah, why?
They want to evict him from, you know.
This is absurd on many levels. It's an exercise in futility,
except that the Democrats just want to make a point. But the point's not going to be made because he's not going to be convicted. Joe Biden said yesterday, the president, they don't have the numbers. I mean, he kind of undercut his own party there. Mm-hmm. Chief Justice Roberts said, I'm not walking across the street for this. It basically, as Ebb said, is unconstitutional. This is going nowhere. It wouldn't surprise me if Chuck Schumer just doesn't drop it and just say, we're going to censure him, but we don't have the votes and we need to move on with President Biden's agenda.
And I think it'll backfire. People with some modicum of objectivity would say, wait a minute, this is a complete waste of time. Why are you doing this? Yeah. Because I think their ultimate desire is to invalidate, to discredit, and to further demean not only President Trump, but people who supported him.
Right.
They want to completely ostracize and marginalize in our American republic. Anybody who supported President Trump, they want to have a stamp to show that you are unfit for public life.
Yeah,
and they're using this as another effort.
And this has been mentioned by a few people, but, you know, President Joe Biden had a pretty aggressive 100-day plan, and I know he's been busy with his pen and his phone, but they're not going to get anything done the first 30 days or more because they're going to be doing this.
Yeah. Well, yeah. All right, so this afternoon at 5 o'clock, 5:05 Central Time, Abraham will be here, Abe will be here with the Hamilton Corner. You can tune in then, and he'll have a whole hour of uninterrupted commentary, unless he interrupts himself. And I guess that remains to be seen. Thank you, Abe.
Thank you, guys.
Thanks.
Okay. You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. Hey, if you want to watch us on the internet, go to Facebook or YouTube and just simply type in Today's Issues, and we do live video stream the show there. You can comment on the program there as well. If you want to send us a good old-fashioned email, here's the address, comments@afr.net. Well, Dr. Frank Turek joins us now, host of Cross Examined. Heard Saturdays at 9 o'clock Central Time in the morning and 4 p.m. Central Time on Sunday afternoons. And he has a very popular radio program and podcast. Frank joins us from the Tar Heel State now, North Carolina. Frank, good morning.
Good morning, gentlemen. I think you guys missed everything. I think the real intent of impeachment is to unify the country. That's what the Democrats want, don't you think?
Well, it's working with me. Huh? I just want to sing Kumbaya with some Democrats in Congress.
It's all about unity, guys. Come on.
Come on, man.
What's wrong with you? Come on, man. That's right.
It's a bunch of malarkey.
Give me a break. That was his first day in office dealing with a reporter.
Yeah. He wanted a break.
I wanted to ask him about vaccine distribution. Biden didn't like the question. Give me a break. Come on,
man.
Well,
I'm sorry, Mr. President. The resistance has begun.
All right. Frank, the floor is yours. Let's jump right into it.
Well, have you, maybe you played this yesterday, I didn't hear yesterday, but there was an interview this weekend between George Stephanopoulos and Senator Rand Paul. Did any of you have any chance
to? I did. And
did you see that?
I watched it.
Yeah, it raised my happy.
Again, made me feel very unified.
Yes.
Well,
Do you want us to play it and then you comment?
Well, do you have a? Yeah, it's 6 minutes. Maybe you could just play a minute or two of it just to see.
We have a minute of it.
All right, go ahead.
Republicans agree with you because they were fed a big lie by President Trump and his supporters who say the election was stolen. Why can't you say?
Well, I think where President you make, Biden I think, won a I think where you make a mistake. And, hey, George, where you make a mistake is that people coming from the liberal side like you. You immediately say everything's a lie instead of saying there are two sides to everything. Historically, what would happen is if I said that I thought there was fraud, you would interview someone else who said there wasn't. But now you insert yourself in the middle and say the absolute fact is that everything I'm saying is a lie.
Well, because, Senator, I said what the president said was a lie because he said, hold on a second. He said the election was stolen. This election was not stolen.
Let's talk about the specifics of it. In Wisconsin, tens of thousands of absentee votes had only the name on them and no address. Historically, those were thrown out. This time, they weren't. They made special accommodations because they said, oh, it's a pandemic, and people forgot what their address was. So they changed the law after the fact. That is wrong. That's unconstitutional. And I plan on spending the next 2 years going around state to state and fixing these problems. And I won't be cowed by liberals in the media who say, there's no evidence here, and you're a liar if you talk about election fraud.
Hey, I want to follow that, General.
Yes, that's right.
Right there, Rand Paul. Man, you go for it, brother. What about that, Frank?
Well, it seems the one of the most ironic things about all this, it's been the Democrats, probably including George Stephanopoulos, who has been promoting for the past 4 years that Trump was elected fraudulently in 2016, and there's been no evidence of that. In fact, we had a 2.5-year investigation that didn't reveal any evidence, and yet there's evidence from 1,000 affidavits, video evidence. It's not even debatable that these states changed their laws unconstitutionally. And there's all sorts of statistical implausibilities that at least need to be investigated. And yet you have George Stephanopoulos and many on the left just saying, nothing to see here. These claims are baseless. Look, even if it wouldn't change the outcome, You wouldn't, if some guy tried to shoot you and missed, you wouldn't say, well, he didn't hit me, so no harm, no foul. You would still prosecute that guy for attempted murder, which will also prevent him from trying it again in the future. And it seems like nobody cares now that even though we do have verifiable voter fraud, whether it would change the result or not, nobody on the left wants to even look at it. The hypocrisy is amazing.
I would say this, and I have said this on the air, and it's got me in a little bit of trouble with some, you know, who listen to the program and some people that I know, even my wife disagrees with me on this. I said, I don't know whether the election was changed by what happened in Pennsylvania, Wisconsin, Michigan, these places, Arizona. I said, but things aren't right with the election because of the things that you're saying. I don't know whether it would have changed the election or not. But the fact of the matter is George Stephanopoulos doesn't know either. I don't even think William Barr knew. I mean,
he said evidence for massive fraud.
He said no evidence.
And he has to speak legally.
Yes.
He can't speak commentarily.
But the fact is, nobody knows because there has not been an investigation. So
and evidence wasn't allowed to be presented in the courtrooms across the country because the judges shut down the cases. Now, I don't know why all those happened. They were all probably different reasons. But as Frank's pointing out here, Fred, What's wrong with doing an autopsy here on the election? It is a pandemic year. A lot of things were changed, were different. It's not going to change whether Joe Biden's going to be in the White House or not. But, Fred, why can't we... What's wrong with exploring the things that, as Fran Paul said, he's going to set out to do, in the hopes that we can correct things that did go wrong for the 2020 election, 2022 and the next presidential election?
Well, Senator Rand Paul, I think, put his finger on it the last 20 seconds of that clip we just listened to. He talked about the mainstream media.
Right.
The Democrats are under absolutely no pressure because the mainstream media is in bed with the Democrats. The mainstream media wants the Democrats to have power.
But they do demand to know the colors on Air Force One.
That's right.
Yes.
So they are pressuring them on that point, Fred.
But that's the thing. If you don't have the media kind of asking the questions, well, you know, we played a couple of Peter Ducey's clips the last few days. He's the new Fox White House reporter, challenging Jen Psaki on some things. But he's the only one. He's the only one. And as you've said, Tim, I wonder how long they're going to allow him in the room. Yeah. This is a conspiracy where the Democrats with their compadres in the mainstream media are working together.
Yeah.
Did y'all know, Walker, did you know these statistics? I don't know. It escaped me or I forgot it. The Wisconsin, so much attention was placed on Pennsylvania and Georgia, and we know the things that happened there. But I didn't. Those statistics that Senator Paul shared, that blows your mind. How many, what did he say?
He said tens of thousands.
Yeah. Of votes were what?
No addresses.
Yeah,
The voter's name.
And they were counted.
Normally those would be tossed out.
And they were counted.
So this is not, there was what I thought was a distraction and unnecessary, the whole talk about Dominion and stuff that is basically unprovable at this point. But then you have these really serious process violations, which are documented. The Pennsylvania case where the Supreme Court said you can count ballots after Election Day, even though the law says no, you can't. Then you have Wisconsin. I mean, these are fundamental processes in place, legal processes, not just like bureaucratic processes, that guide elections and make sure that they're fair and done right. And in many cases, it's documented that these processes were ignored. And so when you start meddling with elections, which is what the Democrats did in various states, when you start meddling with the process and try to subvert the way it's supposed to be done, you cause half of the country to lose confidence in the results, which never ends up well.
But think about this, though. If the shoe had been on the other foot, and it was on the other foot right now, if Trump was in office and Biden had, it looked like it had been stolen from Biden, or if these same facts were out there, the media right now would be day 47 of election fraud.
Right. You know? That's right.
It would be plastered on screens everywhere. They'd have this ongoing 24/7 investigation into alleged voter fraud. But when the shoe's on the other foot, they go, oh, no, nothing to see here. Keep moving. If I hear the word baseless one more time in a report, I'm just going to – my head's going to explode because affidavits are not baseless. They may not be enough to overturn something, but they're not baseless.
Good point. Right. Hey, what's the website?
Crossexamined.org.
And what do you got coming up this weekend? Do you know yet?
I think we're going to have this weekend Greg Kokel on, who wrote the book Tactics, because it's getting more and more difficult to have conversations with people in America. So we're going to talk about ways you can do that better.
All right. Thank you, Brother Frank.
God bless you guys. See you.
That's Frank Turek joining us from North Carolina. We shall return momentarily with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network. Tim, Ed, Walker, and Fred will be back in a minute. Stay with us.
Next time on Today's Issues, our guest will be Abraham Hamilton III.
American culture is determined by what we Americans think, by what we want, and by what we do. So when you think about American culture, people say things like the culture has changed. No, people who comprise culture have changed.
We'll also have news headlines and analysis from American Family News. Don't miss the next Today's Issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
We live in a day when America's families are under attack like never before.
Buddy Smith, Senior Vice President of the American Family Association.
The war against biblical principles rages on numerous fronts. The internet, Hollywood, Washington, D.C., America's corporate boardrooms, and the list goes on. At American Family Association, we're committed to standing against the enemies of God, the enemies of your family. And we recognize it's an impossible task without God's favor and your partnership. Thank you for being faithful to pray for this ministry, to give financially, and to respond to our calls for activism. What you do on the home front is crucial to what we do on the battlefront. We praise God for your faithfulness, and may He give us many victories in the battles ahead as we work together to restore our nation's biblical foundations.
Hello, Americans. I'm Todd Starnes with news and commentary next.
Feeling stuck? At Liberty University, we know you've waited long enough to move forward. So we're making sure the resilient career you want is closer than you think. Choose from more than 450 degrees, 100% online, for one of the lowest tuition rates in the nation. We've kept it the same for 5 years and counting, and we'll give you college credit for your life experience so you can save time and money. Stop feeling stuck and start moving toward the future you want with a school you can trust. Learn more by texting degree to 49595. That's degree to 49595.
Kaylee Miller is a fourth grader, 9 years old. She loved to spend time with her dad in the family's kitchen. They made brownies together and cookies, all sorts of sugary sweets. The other day, Kaylee's dad was killed in a car accident. He was just 35 years old, a blue-collar man, worked hard to put food on the table. His unexpected death put the family in a financial tailspin. So Kaylee decided to do the only thing she knew how to do. She put together a bake sale. The 9-year-old set up shop outside the Dairy Queen in Farndale, Kentucky. Word spread across town, and soon folks pulled up in their pickup trucks, forking over big dollars for Kaylee's brownies and cookies. One sweet couple bought 2 chocolate chip cookies for $1,000. Kaylee's mom was astounded by the outpouring of support, but that's what folks do around Farndale. How sweet it is. You can donate to Kaylee's GoFundMe page at toddstarnes.com.
This is Today's Issues. Email your comments to comments@afr.net. Past broadcasts of Today's Issues are available for listening and viewing in the archive at afr.net. Now, back to more of Today's Issues.
Well, the governor of New York, he just had a Gomer Pyle Shazam moment. He says they can't stay closed till a vaccine's distributed. They're going to have to reopen their economy.
Well, there'll be nothing left to open. That's brilliant. I wish somebody had thought of that. I wish all this time somebody had thought about reopening the country.
Chicago mayor saying the same thing.
Yes.
Newsom in California. It's a new day.
Yeah. I'm glad the Biden administration and these Democrats are in charge. Because nobody would have ever thought of reopening the country.
There's magic in this country, you know, just magically. All of a sudden, the virus is in retreat in Democrat-controlled cities. Hey, you know what's going on? The governor of Florida, DeSantis, Kristi Noem out in South Dakota. What they did right from the beginning, by the way, is what President Trump called for way back months ago. We have to reopen this country.
Right.
Down in Florida, things are going great. Out in South Dakota, their unemployment rate as of yesterday is lower than what it was before the pandemic. Now, so what's happening, of course, in California, we know Governor Newsom is facing a recall. And all of a sudden, magically yesterday, hey, let's open things again. Let's get rid of that curfew I put in place. Because I just discovered the virus works at night during the curfew, too.
Yeah, you know, there's been a lot of studies done in various countries these lockdowns, these draconian lockdowns, do not work.
No.
Yeah, they don't work. And now, I'm not a healthcare professional or what do you call it? What's
epidemiologist?
Yeah, I'm not that. And I had a choice
early in life
between being a newspaper man in college. I was journalism or an
epidemiologist.
Yeah. There was a point I had to make a call on which direction I was going to take.
I made that same call.
Did you make that same call too?
Science was not in my future.
So my problem was freshman chemistry.
Yeah.
And when I couldn't do better than a C there, I thought this
it's not gonna end
medicine's
well.
Not for me.
Yeah.
Not going to be my path to the future. But these draconian lockdowns, shutting everything down, does not work. Now, I will say this, Fred, Ed, and Walker, and listener family. when all this hit our country, I'm talking about, back in February, March, April, we didn't know exactly what we were dealing with.
Right.
And we didn't know exactly how to handle it. And that's everybody.
Right.
From the president on down. And so, we were seeing people dying on the streets in Italy. You remember those?
Yeah.
Huh? Towns were being wiped out over there, and you were just going, wow, could that happen here? And then you got the president of the United States, Donald Trump, residing over the best economy in decades. I don't know how long. I mean, we were doing great as a country. And then all of a sudden, people with white coats start walking in his office saying, you're going to have to shut down the whole American economy.
Yeah.
Or people are going to die by the millions.
They're talking about 2 million deaths.
So what are you going to do, Mr. President? I mean, that's what he was faced with in, what, February?
Yeah.
So what I'm saying is we tried a lot of things, maybe lockdowns and so forth, that in retrospect you go, well, that probably wasn't a good thing to do or that didn't work. But I think we need to give people a break, and I'm talking about Democrats and Republicans, for those first few months when we were trying to figure out what the best thing to do in response to the spread of the coronavirus was. And so, but now we have experience behind us, and we can see, and we have countries around the world to look at, and you say, quite frankly, you say, you know what? Lockdown or no lockdown, the virus is going to go do what it does. And if you do lock down and shut down everything, guess what? The virus is latent. Is that what you call it?
Yeah.
And it's just sitting there?
Right.
And when you open back up, there it comes back again. You see what I'm saying?
Right. I think you're being reasonable but too nice when it comes to people like Cuomo. Because
now, I was saying the first few months.
Yes, first few months, I agree. And there was a steep learning curve.
Starting about August. Go ahead.
But he's changed his tune since the election. All these Democrat governors weren't saying we need to reopen the economy. They weren't saying it before November 3rd because that's what President Trump had been saying. It would have looked like they were agreeing with President Trump. President Trump was right if they echoed what he was saying. So they waited until after the election, and then they started saying things like, well, we need to reopen
what President Trump had been saying.
That's right.
And it's the same conditions.
Yes.
Yeah. Fred?
Yeah, I guess we could put a banner over our program today and call it hypocrisy, examples of hypocrisy. Let me give you another example. You will remember in the early days of the pandemic last year, President Trump put a stop to flights coming in from China because it was discovered that this virus probably had its genesis in Wuhan province. All right, and at the time, you will remember that Democrats, including Joe Biden, Nancy Pelosi, said the president was xenophobic, that he had stopped the flights coming in from China because he's racist. Well, yesterday, Fox's Peter Ducey asked White House spokesman Jen Psaki about Biden's announcement yesterday. Biden has put a stop on people coming in from South Africa and some other countries because of his concerns apparently, for the transmission of this virus. So Ducey says, okay, so what's the difference between what President Trump said about a year ago, stopping flights coming in, and President Biden's announcement today? Have a listen to how that went. Cut number 8.
When President Trump was imposing travel restrictions in March, specifically on China, then candidate Biden called it xenophobic and fear-mongering. So now President Biden is putting travel restrictions on people coming in from other countries. What word do we use to describe that?
Well, I don't think that's quite a fair articulation. President has been clear that he felt the Muslim ban was xenophobic. He overturned the Muslim ban. He also, though,
stop
has...
There right there. Stop there right there. That's lie number one.
Mm-hmm.
Lie number one. And now, keep in mind, as we talked about in the last couple few days, the job of the White House press... Is it press secretary?
Yep.
Is to lie and spin.
Yeah.
Okay, just depends on how much of a conscience you actually have, how far you can go with that before you look at the people and go, who am I kidding? You guys, I got no answer for you because we've been caught. That's what she's saying. Right there, Jen Psaki.
Jen Psaki.
Jen is her first name. She is doing like all of us have done before, especially if you're 10 years old and your mama caught you with your hand in the cookie jar and you start talking while your mind is racing to come up with something that sounds halfway legitimate as an excuse.
Right.
So what she does there, first of all, is she says that that Biden says the Muslim ban, it wasn't a Muslim ban, but that's beside the point. The Muslim ban, which came months later, or much earlier, a year earlier, was xenophobic. That isn't what Ducey asked her about. He's talking about her Biden banning flights from South Africa. What's the difference between that and Trump banning flights from China if it's going to be called xenophobic? And she goes off on something from 2 years ago about the Muslim ban.
Yeah, and it's one thing for the press secretary to either spin it or just not answer the question, which is pretty typical.
Yes.
Even Kayleigh McEnany.
I can handle that. Spinning
just
or not answering.
Yeah, just don't answer it. But she tried to mislead people to think that Biden did not say that, and
yes,
he did.
Yes. So let's do a rewind here, just to be fair to Jen
Psaki,
and let her go uninterrupted.
When President Trump was imposing travel restrictions in March, specifically on China, then candidate Biden called it xenophobic and fear-mongering. So now President Biden is putting travel restrictions on people coming in from other countries. What word do we use to describe that?
Well, I don't think that's quite a fair articulation. President has been clear that he felt the Muslim ban was xenophobic. He overturned the Muslim ban. He also, though, has supported, and he himself, even before, or we did, I should say, even before he was inaugurated, steps travel restrictions in order to keep the American people safe.
Was that it? That's your answer?
Uh-huh. Here's the other difference.
She gets a D minus.
Yeah. Here's the other difference, though, guys. When Trump was in the Oval Office and the White House spokesman was out there and you had a question, you might have got a question like that, then the other journalists piled on.
Yes.
They piled on.
Yes.
Ducey's out there alone.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're going to find a way to give him COVID before long, or say you tested positive again.
Yeah.
No, I've been to the doctor 10 days in a row and tested negative. No, Mr. Ducey. According to the White House.
To hold that little gun up to his head. You got a fever.
You got a fever, brother. You got to go on home. You can come back next year. But Ducey seems the guy. That's Steve Ducey's son, right?
That is correct. Yes.
Peter Ducey. And he is excellent. I'm going to tell you something. But the thing about it is I haven't noticed from him yet any disrespect.
No.
Or snideness.
Yeah.
Or being a smart aleck like Jim Acosta was constantly with whoever the press secretary was, Sarah Huckabee Sanders or Kayleigh McEnany.
Mm-hmm.
Or with the president himself. Acosta was always being a smart aleck. so far, Ducey has asked some tough questions that, as you point out, Fred, some of the other journalists should be asking too.
Yes.
And maybe they'll come along after they get through with their
Well, it's going to get boring.
Their fans.
At some point, it's going to get boring.
Yeah, why are we
talking
here?
About the, you know, the color of Air Force One? At some point, they're going to have to earn their paycheck.
That's
and
true.
Ask some penetrating questions.
You know,
at least.
Yeah, back to the travel ban and things like that. You know, we talked about in the early months of COVID, you know, there were nobody knew what was going on. So, but after now that we've got a grasp on what's going on, I'm not sure blocking travel from certain regions of the world is going to do squat. I mean, you've got you've got an upper respiratory virus that's already in America.
Right.
That obviously is not, you're not going to like get it to go away if you block flights from South Africa. Yeah, it may be a different strain. But unless it's like Ebola or something that has like a 50% fatality rate, there's no, it's not doing any good blocking flights from anywhere, in my opinion.
No, test, if you want to, I don't know exactly how you do this, but if you want to test them.
They're already doing that.
It's, well, then,
you have to get a test to come into the U.S.
Yeah, they are blocking flights from some European countries as well. Is China still off the list, or are they back on? I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. But one of the things I was going to point out when it comes to these press secretaries is I don't mind the spin because we know how the game is played.
Spin is part of it.
Spin is part of it. We all spin. You know, right. If my wife says, you know, are you going to? You gonna mow the grass today? You know, when spring comes along, I start to spin. You know, well,
I'm gonna get
you know,
to it later this afternoon if the weather's right.
The mower, I need
that's
to get the oil.
That's not a yes or no. She wanted a yes or no. You gotta
that's
mow
right.
the grass or not?
I got. You start to spin. We all understand that. At least with Kayleigh McEnany, she had that binder. Remember?
Yeah.
And she would try to answer the question, but then point out the hypocrisy of the left,
she
even
was
the hypocrisy
the
of the media.
Yeah.
You know, so. That kind of thing I like.
The Democrats and the Biden administration, they're off to a rough start here because impeachment is not going to happen.
Right.
Okay. Biden said so yesterday. The press secretary is stuck in the mud.
Right.
There a couple times. And Fred, his claim about a million vaccinations a day, is that what he?
Yes. That was his first goal.
When he made that statement, we were already in a million, almost.
Almost.
Well, he's going to boost it up, Tim, from 970,000 a day to 1 million a day.
Right. And he actually, the Biden administration lowered expectations on vaccine delivery and distribution.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, this is like going out on your driveway, getting your basketball goal, which is set at 10 feet, pulling it down to 5 feet and dunking.
Yes. And showing video of you dunking it, but not how low the rim is.
Yeah, you're dunking, you're hanging on. Watch me. Yeah. I'm rim rocking this goal, and you're right, they're only showing it from the
In the final days of the Trump administration, there were states that were, the federal government was delivering basically too many vaccines to different states because the states did not have a proper administrative plan on administering the vaccines because they were trying to micromanage it is what Alex Azar said, the HHS secretary. Now Biden is going to get to a point where he's reducing the expectations so much that states are going to be going, we need more vaccines in order to keep up with demand, which is going to be interesting.
You're listening to Today's Issues on the American Family Radio Network. We all hope this virus just goes away. It's just killing us. Literally and figuratively, our lives and our economy. And I'll just give you one example. We've got a Holy Land tour group that was supposed to go last March. I mean, some of them are listening right now. We were supposed to go last March, 2020?
Yes.
I blocked that out of my mind, so I don't know. I'm just skipping from 19 to 21, trying to block that out of my mind. So we were supposed to go in March. Then... and a lot of our folks were already in New York because it got shut down on a Monday in March, and we were supposed to depart from New York on Thursday, meet everybody.
Mm.
So 20% of our group was already in New York sightseeing before New York went to hell, violence and everything.
Yeah.
probably shouldn't use that word. Pardon me, but I mean it in almost a literal sense. But anyway, so that tour got canceled, and my wife Allison, she does all the book work for this, so she had to start taking medication.
Figuratively, right?
Figuratively. I'm just kidding. But so that got put, we're thinking in March, we're thinking, okay, this has been delayed. We'll probably be able to go in June. Surely by June, everything will be back to normal. Remember we were all thinking that? How long can this last? Come on, man. A couple of months at the most.
And summertime, it'll warm up. No summertime, flu.
There you go.
Yeah.
And then it got pushed back to, then we had to say in June, we're going to have to push.
Israel had shut down.
We're going to have to push this thing to March 2021.
Yeah.
So that was like 10 months later. Well, now here we are.
You're coming right up to the edge again.
Well, we can't go now. Now we're having, because Israel isn't open.
Yeah.
You can't tour a country that won't let you go there.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? They won't even let flights come in.
Yeah.
To Tel Aviv. And so they're only people they're letting
in.
They're
very xenophobic.
Yeah, it's that or they don't survive.
Right.
But anyway, so that's what's going on in Israel. They've shut down. They're vaccinating their whole country. Of course, it's only 9 million people. So relatively speaking, it's like it's a big American city, the whole population. Yeah. But I'm just saying, this is just one whiner right here.
Yeah.
Complaining about our own situation. It looks like we're going to hopefully be able to go in October on a trip that should have gone 18 months earlier. And who knows, because we got to wait for Israel to open back up. But I'm just saying, this has caused havoc around the world for everybody, and we just need an end in sight. And I think everybody was hoping maybe these vaccines were the answer, and hopefully they are. But when you hear about the vaccines, a lot of people are skeptical about taking vaccines early on because we don't know exactly what they're going to do to you. 40% of Americans are going, oh, I'm just going to wait and see what it does here. Right.
Yeah.
And then you got the other. So you got that going on. Now you got this new strand. Which
strain?
Oh, you get the. Yeah, you get this going on. You go, is that real? You know, I guess it is real. But how potent is that? Is that going to also be? Anyway.
And I'm just going to get my mini wine.
Yeah, please. Okay. Now we know you had to miss hockey season.
That's my wine.
I'm
looking forward.
I knew that was coming.
I want fans back that I can watch fat, out of weight, overweight guys eating nachos with their faces painted, slamming their fists, their beefy fists against the glass.
That makes you happy.
Complaining about
that,
the referee.
It makes you happy.
Come on, I want to return to normalcy.
Okay. All right. Anyway, all right. You're listening to Today's Issues. Go, Fred.
Yes, you may remember the story of high school football coach Joe Kennedy out of Bremerton, Washington, just a short distance from Seattle. This takes you back about 5 years ago now. He had a practice over his 7 years of being coach of the football team there that at the end of the game, win or lose, he would go to the center of the field all by himself. This was his personal decision, and he would kneel to pray. Well, about 5 years ago, just over 5 years ago, the school district says, well, you can't ask the players to go out there with you. Okay, that's fine. I'm not asking the players to go to the center of the field and pray with me. Well, then they took it a step further. We don't want anybody to see you praying. That was what the school district said. We don't want anybody to see you. So if you're going to pray, go somewhere else. You cannot pray at the end of the game or be seen praying. Well, he said, can't do that. Don't see it. And they dismissed him. They fired him. Well, his case has gone through the court system all the way up to the Supreme Court, who at one point said, we don't want to hear your case. However, four of the conservative justices at the time kind of opened up a window and made some suggestions as to how he might continue his legal battle. Well, he's doing that right now. And with the help of First Liberty, lawyers with First Liberty, he's going back before the Ninth Circuit Court of Appeals with his case. He was interviewed this morning on Fox and Friends. It's cut number four. It's what he's saying these days.
I was a United States Marine, and the Constitution means something, you know, really near and dear to my heart. So fighting for my own, you know, rights is one thing. And also, I always told my football players to never give up. And when things get tough, you just keep fighting. So I'd be a hypocrite if I just gave up because this became difficult or uncomfortable. It's worth fighting for, and I'm standing up for what's right.
And that's Coach Joe Kennedy. And, yeah, he's going to continue the battle because he believes constitutionally and biblically he is right to do what he's doing. And the fact that he was fired for exercising his First Amendment rights, he believes is a fight worth fighting for.
Well, he's a courageous man, and he's been out of coaching for 5 or 6 years because of this fight. In other words, he's not willing to compromise his beliefs and his view of the rights granted to him, protected by the Constitution. And so the thing he loves to do the most, all right, coaching, professionally speaking, he's not been able to do. So he's put all that on hold to fight this fight. He's a very courageous man, and I'm not surprised that he's a former Marine.
Yeah, and this shows how much our country has changed over the years to where so many are hostile to Christianity to such an extent that a coach can't go to the middle of a field and pray by himself. That's not allowed. That's not permitted. And not is it just not permitted, but we'll go to court for 4 years to make sure you don't do it.
Yeah.
Which is what this high school's doing.
And, you know, I remember when this case came out, there were a lot of people, even some Christians, who were saying, well, and this is certainly what the school was doing, questioning his motives. Well, why do you want to do it in the center of the field? And you know what? It's none of the government's business.
It's after the game's over.
It's after the game is over. He's free to pray wherever he wants. The government's not allowed to tell him. You know, there are people walking all over the field doing all sorts of things.
Right.
You're not allowed as a representative of the government, like the school officials are. You're not allowed to say, well, we're going to be hostile to your faith, but if someone wants to go out there and do a little dance or speak with people from the other school, that's allowed.
You know, they do this at a lot of college and professional football games where the Christians on each team gather together after the game and have prayer in the middle of the field for a few moments. So I wanted to talk about one other topic here if we have time, because I wanted to applaud Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton because when Joe Biden, President Biden, said he was going to cease deportations or suspend them, stop them for 100 days.
Right.
Or deportations, I'm talking about for people who are here in our country illegally, who have been arrested for some reason, and they have to, and they're supposed to be put on a plane or a bus and sent back to their country of origin. Well, Joe Biden said, I'm stopping that for 100 days. Well, Ken Paxton, the Attorney General of Texas, said, wait a minute, you can't do that. A president cannot unilaterally decide to suspend the enforcement of federal law. And I don't know if this case is going to have to go through the federal court system or ultimately end up at the Supreme Court, which I think will rule in favor of Texas on that. Because think about it. If Biden can suspend enforcement of federal law for 100 days, why can't he do it for 500 days? Why can't he do it for, if you want to change the law, Mr. President, go change the law. But I think this is an important case to watch. And I don't even know why Biden is doing this, quite frankly, except to pander to his left-wing base.
That's the reason.
Who just want to allow people to flood into our country illegally, and then say, if you want to do anything about it, you just say, hi, you're a racist.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? That's the old card that they use, the game that they play. But good on Ken Paxton, the Attorney General of Texas. We'll be back momentarily with more of today's issues on the American Family Radio Network.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.